Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. Today is September 3rd, 2024. It is the middle of the week-ish. It's Tuesday. My name is Hind Al-Dah. I am here with my co-host, Abdelmajid Awan. Today, we have a lot for business news. We have UAE unveils 2025 strategy for three priorities, InvestCorp's co-CEO to exit, Bahrain to implement 50% tax on multinationals. So let's begin with the UAE story. So they're planning on a strategy for three priorities, and that includes the family unit, Emirati identity, and of course, AI. AI is on the rise, so of course, that's a major thing to look forward to. And these are just plans. They're planning the talk, the actual strategy plan, and they'll discuss this on November 5th and November 6th in Abu Dhabi in the annual meeting, the government's annual meeting. This was announced by His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid, ruler of Dubai, on Twitter or on X. He also hailed successful back-to-school plans. More than 1 million students went back to school last week, so schools started most of them, I think, last week, but then, you know, some also 2 weeks ago. But then more than a million, that's a huge number of students. And I think that's the reason for the traffic that we see in the morning and also in the evenings.
Traffic updates are always the best news on any platform nowadays. Radio, everyone is tuning in to know which road is heavy on traffic and everyone is leaving. The plan that they've announced is really good. You see the cultural aspect in it, you see the identity aspect in it, and then you see that Dubai is not only trying to become a business hub, or it has become a business hub, to be honest, right now. It is a global business hub. Everyone is coming to Dubai to set up their businesses, but they're trying to move into AI, they're trying to move into technology, innovation, all these fields. They're trying to become the global leader, and it shows you how important it is that for the 2025 action plan, that what will happen in the year 2025, they're highlighting family units. So it's the cultural thing, it's a family thing. They're highlighting that family is important, obviously, and then they're trying to promote the promoting the Emirati identity, and lastly, it's advancing artificial intelligence.
So let's talk more about the economic boost of the UAE. So Sheikh Mohammed's approved financial statistics showed that the government revenue was 546 billion dirhams in 2023, with 402 billion dirhams in expenditures. And most of those were in public security and safety, for good reason. I mean, you know, also in health, education, economic affairs, social protection, and housing and utilities. Now, the UAE's resources continue to grow for the benefit of the people and for the country's economy. And His Highness Sheikh Mohammed also said that the number of companies operating in the UAE has surged to more than a million by the middle of this year, which is a rise of 152%. Which is a huge number. So
by 2020, the number of companies were around 400,000, and now they've become 1 million. So it's an astronomical rise. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons is that 2020 and some half of the 2021, it saw the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
So a lot of businesses were shut down or slowed down. The business activity had slowed down astronomically. So what happened was, if you consider these 3.5 years, nearly 1.5 or 2 years, where there was no business or a lack of business.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly it was digital businesses
mostly, yeah.
or the service delivery guys, they were earning in millions.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of businesses were like the events and trade and exhibition industry, no one could meet each other. Mm-hmm. So that closed down.
But then during the same time, we saw Expo 2020, which really improved the economic situation.
And I loved how, when I was going through the expo lanes or wherever I was, if my mask was not on.
Mm-hmm.
So the control they had on people, how they managed like such great number of people coming in, mm-hmm. making them wear the mask, taking all the tests before coming to Dubai. When you land in Dubai, you would take the COVID-19 test. So it shows the ability of the
city and the country as a whole, that how nicely they manage the COVID-19 yeah. pandemic. And this shows in the numbers that 1 million companies are now registered in the UAE, which is a very big increase, to be honest. So this whole strategy, this whole thing is a sign of the things to come for 2025. Obviously, they'll discuss the details in November, on November 5 and 6 at the annual meeting. But it's good that they've announced it. So now, when they go on the table and finalize the detailed strategy or the detailed brief of what will happen under these ideas, it is going to be, they will obviously yeah. take maybe input from private companies, the big people.
But at least people are will know what to expect yeah. from that meeting. It's those three priorities.
This part is again very interesting about Dubai. If they want to do something in 2027, they'll start discussions and they'll announce it in 2025. So everyone contributes to the idea. It's not just the government ministers or the government announcing everything mm-hmm. and it's just doing everything. They take ideas from everyone, from the private yeah. sector, from the public sector. So very nice strategy, to be honest, a very nice government level strategy and a very nice business strategy.
Yeah.
So this is all from the Dubai news.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to our second story. Investcorp's co-CEO Hazem bin Gassim. I do not know how to pronounce his
name. I guess it's Jassim.
Jassim. Okay. Because it's with a G and usually yeah. Jassim with a G. All right. Is to exit amid management shakeup. Hazem has been co-CEO of Investcorp for over 30 years and will leave the company on November 1st. That's the same day I'm leaving Augustus Media as an intern, but who knows, maybe I'll come back.
Yeah.
So co-CEO Rishi Kapoor is now vice chairman and the chief investment officer. And the executive chairman, Mohammed Al-Ardi, will assume additional responsibilities, which was previously held by the co-CEO.
So Bin Jassim is a very important figure for Investcorp. Investcorp is a very big mammoth in investing. They have nearly $52 billion assets under investment. They were in Bahrain for nearly 40 years. Then they move out of Bahrain Bursa. The stock market of Bahrain, because they saw that the activity was not good there mm-hmm. for their stock shares and so for the stocks and prices of the stocks. So what they did was they moved out, they came to Abu Dhabi Securities Exchange, ADX, and they listed there. And a lot of things that Investcorp did over the past years was because of Bin Jassim. He was instrumental in expanding Investcorp's reach, including significant efforts to strengthen ties with China. And China, everyone knows, everyone wants to do business in China because they have such a big industry for everything. And he also spearheaded Investcorp's first buyout in China. So that is the importance of Bin Jassim. The management reshuffle is also a part of Investcorp's strategy to enhance returns and streamline operations, reflecting broader efforts to adapt to changing global investment dynamics. And the consolidation of investment activities they've divided into three parts. So there's private equity, there are real assets, and then credit. So they aim to better position the company for future growth. What this means basically is they're trying to cut costs from somewhere. They're trying to reshuffle. We also recently did a story about HSBC. They are planning a reshuffle after the arrival of the new CEO. So I guess it's a new trend in business. Yeah. Whatever things are working, if they're not reaping profits, you can always shuffle them.
The top management.
Top management, middle management, because HSBC is trying to reduce the number of middle management. And this company is trying to reshuffle the top management. Mm-hmm. So everyone is trying something, but again, at the end of the day, in business, money matters. Right. So if it works, if they get more assets under investment, yeah. business grows, they'll think it's the right call. Mm-hmm. And if HSBC removes the middle management, around 1,000 people, so if that works for them, maybe that's good for them.
Yeah, it'll work for the company, but I don't think for the 1,000 people yeah. being laid off.
It's always bad for the yeah. last person of in course. The order. They lose
the company,
their jobs.
It's probably yeah. a good
But management good reshuffles, it's not like it's a new idea. I was reading about a US company, not related to MENA, but Goldman Sachs. Mm-hmm. one of the biggest companies in the world, banks, investment, everything, they're in everything. Goldman Sachs is doing a yearly review of their all the people who work there. And they do it every year. So they analyze their performance and then they do firing. So that's also happening like from the global world. But it's very normal, I guess, now. If you're performing, you'll stay. Not performing, thank you very much. Find something else. We'll find someone else also.
Yeah, so this leadership change in InvestCorp is expected to drive its strategic direction as it continues to manage over $52 billion in assets and also to explore further growth opportunities. So with cutting down on or reshuffling the management, perhaps it will give them more opportunities for the company.
Yeah.
So let's move on to our final story. So Bahrain is to implement a 15% minimum tax on multinationals starting 2025. So they're introducing their domestic minimum top-up tax starting January 1st, 2025. And this DMTT will enforce a minimum tax rate of 15% on profits for multinational enterprises with global revenues exceeding 750 million euros. So it's very, very large multinational companies. The Bahraini companies aren't really affected. It's just those multinationals. But 15% tax is still a big number.
It actually comes because they have to align with OECD's two-pillar reform, which seeks to prevent tax avoidance and ensure MNEs contribute a fair share of taxes in each jurisdiction they operate. So OECD has a rule that you can't just host multinationals and they're not paying tax, because obviously then everyone will want to move to that country. So in accordance with that, they're doing it, but it's going to be a very big number. We're just talking about like 750 million euros, 15% is like 10 million euros. It's not, it's a negligible amount maybe for the business, but Bahrain will be happy because they'll get a lot of money in taxes.
Of course, but also the business ecosystem will of course be better with this number. You know, this percentage of tax, because the Bahraini authorities will take this money and put it into making the environment more suitable for businesses to come, maybe.
Always. Whenever you get money from tax, it's always invested in infrastructure, mm-hmm. infrastructure, exactly. Roads, parks, anything that is related to business. It's invested in that. It's invested in the people of the country. Mm-hmm. For example, we just talked about the way that they earned 500 something billion and then they spent 400 something billion. They didn't hold back on expenditures. Mm-hmm. So this tax will help the businesses, I think, as well, because the business infrastructure will also improve and the life of the people in Bahrain. Yeah. I guess I've never been to Bahrain. Have you ever been to Bahrain?
I have not. I really want to go.
But, yeah, but once we go to Bahrain and see everything
there.
See the
business environment. Yeah, we'll
give you a better, we can throw a better light on how it is and what improvements there can be. But living in Dubai, I don't think we'll ever be able to like the infrastructure of any other country, because Dubai's infrastructure, to be honest, is world-class compared to a lot of things, a lot of regions.
But also the other GCC countries do have good infrastructure.
Which GCC countries do you think can compete with Dubai right now?
Saudi Arabia, for sure. You know, they're doing big things. Yeah. We talk about Saudi Arabia a lot on the show, and for good reason. They're really trying.
They're the biggest economy in Middle East, I think.
Yeah, of course.
We are supposed to talk about them. Mm-hmm. Without them, the conversation cannot be complete.
Yeah.
So these moves, these taxes, everything is happening. We have some small news, not small news, but news which has like only one small angle to it.
So UK's Gymshark, which is an activewear brand based in the UK, is coming to Dubai Mall. And this is the first store they're opening outside of the UK. And that's all there is to say on the subject. So if you're into sports, or maybe you just like wearing sportswear, Gymshark is coming. And they're pretty popular. I've heard of Gymshark a lot, even though I'm not a gym person, but I've heard of the brand. Mm. It marks this significant milestone in the brand's expansion. So Dubai is a good place to come to.
An interesting thing is they chose Dubai Mall. Dubai Mall is expanding. They're nearly doubling the size.
Oh, maybe it will be in the new part of Dubai Mall, probably. Yeah.
So that is one of the biggest news, that a lot of brands will move in to the Dubai Mall, and they know Dubai Mall has the numbers, it has the footfall to cater to their brand.
Mm-hmm.
And first time out of UK in Dubai,
great
for Dubai.
For our next small story, we have UAE bank account hurdles frustrate Saudi startup founder. So I thought this was a kind of a funny story. So the founder of Saudi-based logistics platform OTO, or Auto, complains about hurdles in opening a bank account in the UAE. And more specifically, he's talking about
Vio Bank.
Vio Bank, yeah, thank you.
Don't want to name you, but we didn't name you.
I was thinking, should I say the name or not?
Yeah, the person named you. It's not about just one bank, to be honest, by the way. The story is about all the banks.
Yeah, so he posted this on his LinkedIn, and we also had a story on Instagram. Check out our Instagram account. We have a lot of business news coming out every hour. So a lot of the comments on that post that we did were people agreeing with this co-founder, and people agree with the sentiment that it is very difficult to open a bank as a business compared to as an individual.
As an individual, I remember I just downloaded the app, scanned my Emirates ID and one, two things, and in hardly 10 minutes, my bank account was set up.
It's very quick if you're just one person. But then, you know, if you're a company, even if you're a registered company with a lot of revenues, let's say even $1 million in revenue, you still have to go through a very long process. And I think they have a reason for this, and it's because they don't want any sketchy company to be administered on their bank account. So yeah,
there's, because there's that. Recently saw that UAE came out of the gray list of the FATA, the Financial Action Task Force, and they're now in the white list, the highest list, the best list possible. So they don't want to go back. So according to that, you have to put in a lot of regulations when opening corporate bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand this problem. One of my friends actually has the same story. He opened up his business in Sharjah, and he wanted to register for a bank. Took a lot of weeks, took a lot of money in the bank. So it is a process, but the process is in place to safeguard your money and to safeguard the country's interest as well. You can't go into the gray list again. It comes with a lot of problems, trade problems. There's a lot of tariff hikes that happen. So this process, if I would take the opportunity to defend the UAE, that this process streamlines everything, makes sure that all the documents are present. It's not difficult. It's just that approvals and checking every piece of information that it is correct is very important for a country like UAE.
Also, think if one of these banks did have a sketchy company registered, it will really tarnish their reputation. So
one of the banks actually was, I remember the story, the bank name was not mentioned in the story, that is why I can't remember it, but UAE actually did suspend a bank's operations because their money laundering and all this thing about money laundering and counter-terrorism financing, the policies that they had were not strict enough or were not in line with the regulations that the government had put. So one of the banks was banned for this. So it's not they want to do it or they like to do it.
They have to. Yeah. It is very frustrating for people starting their businesses and to register on a bank account, but unfortunately, you do have to go through it because of, you know, of the situation. Next, we have Palestinian startups get a $5 million lifeline. So, Majid?
Yeah, it's a company which has given, wait one second, I don't want to name the company wrong. So, the Palestinian, Intersect is a company which is a tech hub in Ramallah, has launched Safe Palestine, it's SAFE, and a $5 million bridge financing facility to support high growth Palestinian startups affected by the ongoing conflict. So they identified 29 startups, and now they're giving them, in simple terms, they're giving them the security that whatever they make, they can return later. So it's like loans for them to keep afloat, keep their people. A lot of people were displaced, so they went here and there. So just to keep those startups afloat, they're giving them money, and it's
to keep their head up.
In simple words, they can return the money back. So it's a $5 million fund. The interesting part, this I have to say, the supporters are, one of the biggest supporters is Google, because Google has a very big incubator program across the globe. Then there's Amjad Masat of Replit, Paul Graham of Y Combinator, Fadi Ghandour of Aramix, and Sami Tukan of Maktoub. These are the guys who are giving this, who are contributing to this 5 million fund. So these are guys from the Middle East, Arab region. They're helping their fellow Palestinians.
It's great. It's a way for them to engage in business at the same time. It keeps their head up, I think. So it's a great, great thing.
So in some other news, UAE's Mustard has planned to invest $900 million in solar power plants in Upper Egypt. They got the contract and the work has started. The delivery is around mid of 2025. Gush Cloud, one of the Singapore businesses which deals with influencer, it's an influencer management company, has partnered with Dubai-based Talent Plus. Dubai-based Talent Plus is influencer management company. So now Talent Plus will be able to take influencers from which are under Gush Cloud's network and use them for brands here. Our influencers from the MENA region can now tap into the Gush Cloud network and do brand deals with the Gush Cloud customers, consumers, partners, brands. So it's a very good thing. And it's basically MENA has, the MENA region, Middle East, North Africa region, has a $250 billion creator economy. So this coordination, this coalition, this partnership has come seeing that money in mind. So this is one of the stories. These are the stories that we did today. We talked about how Dubai has announced the 2025 action plan. They're focusing on the family unit. They're focusing on AI, advancing AI. And they're focusing on strengthening the Emirati identity. Apart from that, we talked about Egypt. We talked about InvestCorp's co-CEO being asked to leave from the company. The company has $52 billion. Of assets under management. It's a very big move. It's a very big thing happening. And lastly, we also talked about Bahrain imposing 15% tax on multinational enterprises. And that tax will obviously help infrastructure for business.
Yes, if you joined us in the second half of the show or if you missed a chunk of it, you can catch us on all these streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Rami. You can also find us on TikTok, Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube. Make sure to also follow our daily newsletter where we talk about, we have a lot of information about the topics we talk about on the show. Thank you for joining us on the Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. We'll see you tomorrow.